Hello and welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 187, Spider-Man 2. With me, George, and this week joined by RGT, Peter Parker, to my pervy Paul. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. What an intro.
That's how we do it here on the UCP. Quick question. Yes. Obviously, you're UK-based as an individual.
Yes.
How is the weather?
Eased off a bit now, but has been awful.
Have you been sort of getting about in a small inflatable and... are you going to laugh about this? Someone kayaking down Farmington High Street. True story.
Amazing. No, I didn't see any kayaks, but plenty of waders. So, and if you don't know what waders are, they're very long wellies that come up to your chest.
I'm glad we clarified that.
Yes. Just for the international people. Yeah, waders.
Well, international people, national people, worldwide peoples, thank you for listening. As we said, this episode's entitled Spider-Man 2. So we're going to get into the meat and the veg of that. We're going to talk to you about our initial thoughts and probably even give you a decent review, to be honest. Maybe some tips and tricks to get the most out of the game as well while you sample it. Also, while you can't play it and you're at work. I mean, how dare they, to be honest. But at least you've got this show to listen to. So when you go home at night, you might be that little bit better on the controls. You might find the menus that easier to navigate. You might know exactly what you want to do with your character and which suits to chase. In the meantime, we're going to bring you some news. We're going to bring you the latest new releases, courtesy of Stingray. But before we do any of that, and if you need to understand this next joke, get in the back catalogue. But Odders, web whip that wheel to your arms, friend. Take a left turn. As I ask RGT, what have you been playing this gaming week?
Obviously.
No.
Here we go.
No Spider-Man 2 talk. Let's save that till after the news. So this might be the slimmest what you've been playing known to man.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing the new Forza Motorsport on Xbox Series X. Been enjoying that.
Very interesting. What vehicle have you chosen as your steed?
Well, you've that's sort of one of my little gripes with the game, I think, because you are a bit, you're not limited, but obviously as you go through your levels of what races you're in, it's a bit like Gran Turismo, but then obviously your car will not be eligible, so you have to keep purchasing for each section you're in. Graphically, the game is pretty stunning. It does look phenomenal. I'm in the car view, so I'm looking out across my dashboard and my bonnet. You get rain on the windscreen. It is so realistic. You even get the reflection of your dash on the window, what you do in the car when you come around to the sun. Looks really good. Best part of the game, handling of the cars, is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, the handling of the cars is what you'd expect. I mean, you get lift-off oversteer, you know, you can feel a car going, you know, and you can feel if you're in a front-wheel drive car and you're popping a back wheel, you can really feel it. It's absolutely one of the best ever, I think, for the actual handling of the cars. Things I probably struggle with are upgrades. You're quite limited and you can only upgrade a car as you unlock an upgrade as you go, which I find a bit restrictive. So, for instance, I had a Focus RS. So you do a race, and as your car level goes up, you can then unlock parts as you go, and then you use your car points to unlock those parts for your car. I find that quite restricted. I like it when the Gran Turismo way, where you can go in and as long as you've got the cash, pop the bits on and work your way through. And that's, I don't like that so much, but it's not terrible. It's just, I find it a bit restrictive. And I find some of the AI are a bit dumb at times, but I'm sure they'll patch that out. They sometimes you'll be in a race and they have no concept of if you're making a move on someone on the inside, they'll just cut across to get onto the line, whether you're there or not. So they, some are okay, but some are really terrible. But
how does it handle that within the sort of frame of penalties and stuff like that?
Well, it's got quite a good penalty system now. It's got like the sometimes you'll go off track and and that'll almost review it while you're driving. Then it'll come back, no penalty. So if you've been forced offline and you've been forced off the track, that'll come back, no penalty.
Or if
you're way in the lead of a race and you tack a corner a bit wide, but obviously you've gained no advantage, no penalty. So, and that'll do collisions and stuff. And I find that the penalty system's pretty good so far. I found it it's not far off. I've led races where I've just, zoned out for a bit and missed a corner and gone a bit wide, come back on the track, let's come back, no penalty. You haven't gained nothing of anything. You've had a disadvantage, so no penalty for you. So, it's clever on that front. The game itself, I think, is really good. I think it's brilliant. I think the racing's awesome, graphically stunning. But the thing that I find where you miss out the most on this, and having a PS5 and a Series X, it's the controller. Your triggers are just dead. There's no feedback. Because I'm so used to adaptive triggers on a PS5, you really notice the difference between a DualSense and a Series X controller. You've got rumble in there, which is quite good, but it's numb. You've just got triggers for acceleration and brake. I think if they had their own version of a controller like the DualSense, that would make Forza absolutely phenomenal. But it's just numb. Do you know what I mean? It is just plain triggers. I think we forget sometimes if you play PlayStation all the time, you forget how good the DualSense is. When you go back to another controller, you suddenly think, oh, actually, yeah, all them little rumbles, all that adaptive triggers, all that haptic feedback, all adds up, to the extras, and which we'll get onto with our, game of the show. So I've played a bit more Final Fantasy 16. Not a lot, because obviously a certain game dropped on my doormat this week, so that took a bit of a back burner. And I've tried to increase my score on Tony Hawk's On Our Challenge Accepted this month, because time is running out. We've only got till the end of October to see who's going to win that. So, but I haven't got nowhere near my other score, so I need to try and put some.
And where time do people, just let's say someone's turned up today, Spider-Man 2, they've gone, I'll take a flyer on these fly-by-night characters here. Mm-hmm. I'll take a flyer on the UCP. Where could someone who's listening now find this challenge accepted?
This is on our Unofficial Controller Podcast Discord channel. We've got various little, separate links and channels and bits all in there. But if you go to Challenge Accepted, that's a new one we started by Digital Monkery this month. And there'll be a new challenge each month, the first of each month. And it'll basically be normally going to be a high score challenge. So this month is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. All of us are probably playing the remastered version, because you've got the Tony Hawk's 3, you can manual basically, whereas you couldn't in the original, so you can link tricks together. And it's basically who gets a high score. It's just for bragging rights. And we've got a little high score table which Digital Monkery updates every now and then, so you can have a look. It's great fun because it gives you something else to play that you haven't got to get loads of hours into. It's something just on the back burner where you can just keep chipping away and see if you can get a better score. Send a picture of your score into the link on the Discord, and Digital Monger will add you into the table. But yeah, great fun. So yeah, UCP Discord.
Okay. So is there any meat left on the table or no?
No, that's pretty much it for me this week.
Okay, so obviously I'd normally burst into song, but you tell me you haven't done any homework this week.
No, I've been a bit preoccupied this week, so apologies on that front.
RGTA. Like the Lone Ranger.
Your burst new song.
Riding on down.
You're going to be disappointed.
Bring hidden gems to me. Ooh-hoo. What you got for nothing?
No, not this week, sorry.
Wow. Okay. Normally in this section of the show, you bring us a hidden gem. You dip massive game collection. So massive, in fact, it's been featured in retro Gamer Magazine, which is where you get your moniker RGT.
Mm-hmm.
This week you've been so busy you've not even picked through the museum.
I've got a list of games which I do have hidden gems. I just haven't been able to write them up this week.
Last week, I also set you the challenge of acquiring Aquanauts Holiday on PlayStation mm-hmm. 1. How's that journey going for you?
I'm currently bidding on one at the moment. So,
if nothing else, this little rare, obscure title will surely bolster your PlayStation 1 collection quite well.
Ooh, yeah, I actually love this challenge.
Is this just a really cool way of me getting your funds unlocked by your wife to buy high-priced PlayStation exclusives?
Next week, can you just suggest Snatcher, please?
No, I'm going to suggest Hakuna Matata, a.k.a. Africa.
Ooh, PS3.
An absolute banger. Yeah. Seeing as you're now such a celebrity, you don't deign to ask me what I'm hoping to play. I'm going to bore you with what I've been, sorry, not hoping, but been playing. I'm going to bore you with it.
Oh, well. Crack on.
This week, I slipped massively. I thought I was clear of this. But I thought, I'll have a quick look on Anno.
I knew you were going to say
and make sure my cigar supply line. This sounds odd. My cigar supply line could be improved, as well as chocolate.
It's a sentence you'll never say again in your life.
8 hours later.
Oh.
8 hours later.
About 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not going to. I don't want to talk about that element of it, but what I talk about is Anno 1800 is still a masterclass. We talked of games of the year. Now, this is going to be controversial, but I would put it up there.
Really?
Oh, God. PlayStation doesn't agree, but my save file suggests I'm somewhere in the region of 500 hours.
What? 500 hours?
Moving swiftly on.
500 hours?
It can't be right. I've noticed that when you put the PlayStation in sleep mode, and the Switch is another prime example of this, some games don't stop their timer.
No, and I think if you compare, if a game has got an inbuilt clock of your time, and you compare it to the PS5's time, some of them are quite drastically different.
They are.
So, I mean, if you've played 500 hours, well, fair played.
I looked at my save on Switch of Knights of the Old Republic and it said something like 62 hours, I thought to myself, I'll have wanted to finish this little piece of mediocrity from the past if I'd done 60 hours in The Bad Boy. So what else have we been playing? I think I've had another go on Resi. I can't really remember. It's been a bit of a blur this week, if I'm honest with you.
What Resi you up to? You done zero, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm like maybe a third of the way, maybe halfway through the remake of the first game.
Oh, okay.
But, other than that, I don't really... I've been trying to keep myself clean, my palate clean. I got a little bit distracted, obviously, with the Switch, but the PlayStation has got its... fish hooks into me and it refuses to let go currently because, as we'll get into, Spider-Man's absolutely so well put together. It's unbelievable. Right. Well, if that's all done, let's not lose the wave of new listeners that we no doubt pick up off the back of this episode. And generally Spider-Man fans, if you were here looking for a podcast about the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man 2, I'm sorry, but you're in the wrong place. But you're also in the right place. If you were looking at the second Andrew Garfield movie and looking for a breakdown of that, you're in the wrong place. But you're also in the right place. Now, we don't want to lose your goodwill, so let's give you some gaming news. We've scoured the very darkest regions of the internet to bring you the latest stories. First up, RGT, this will strike a chord with you. It's not the size, how you use it.
Thank you.
In an age of never-ending live services and padded open-world games, Marvel's Spider-Man 2's relatively tight 20 or so hour story has been criticised by a handful of fans for not offering enough value for money. While the wealth of side content can practically double that playtime, it's still a release on the shorter side compared to epics like Baldur's Gate 3. But director Brian Inithar, while acknowledging the PS5 exclusive needs to represent value for money, believes quality trumps quantity. For us, it really comes down to the experience you want to deliver with the quality we want to hit, he told the BBC. Our job is to make sure that you feel no matter how long it is, it's worth that money. It's worth that investment. Despite the price of next-gen games increasing to a MSRP of £69.99 Great British Pounds or the equivalent in US dollars, this generation we generally agree that Marvel's Spider-Man 2 is worth the price of admission. While it doesn't necessarily offer hundreds of hours of content like its peers, the consistent level of quality puts it a cut above its open-world rivals, and there's still New Game Plus and other content updates to come. I mean, does he have a point there?
Yeah, this always raises a head. We've had people comment on this years ago.
I pause you there?
Yeah.
Because I don't, obviously, next week, I only pause you there because my phone has buzzed. It's Mike Rouse.
Okay.
I have gaming celebrity friends too, you know. And I saw the answer.
Yeah, well, I did just ask him to message you to see he didn't feel left out, so.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
I don't know what the truth is anymore. Mike Rouse, obviously the creator of PlayStation Trophies and PlayStation Home, all-around legend, worked on such games as The Getaway, absolute PlayStation 2 banger in a lot of people's eyes. Not aged well in my own. Forgive me, Sir Mike, but I think you agree. Friend of the show.
He messages me.
He probably is. Been on the show 3 times. Would love to have him back, and sure we'll get there. But I saw that Ant streamer at format, and I thought, oh, please tell me you're going, Mike. He's not going.
Oh.
They don't let him out the coding office very much anymore, do they?
No. He's glued to that keyboard.
So I hope you're well, Mike, and obviously a listener of the show. He's in the Discord too, so if you want to have a chat with the man who invented PlayStation Trophies, you know where to go. Mm. Back to the Spider-Man conversation. Sorry for the sideline. I got so excited when his name flashed up, I thought this is his answer to whether he's going to be having a little drink with me at format or not. He's not. He's probably going in disguise, let's face it. Mm. Spider-Man 2, quantity over quality, quality over quantity. What's your thoughts? Because I will give you mine quickly. I would probably go down the route of what Brian Inithar said and maybe even look at it through this lens. This show, the UCP in particular, voiced their opinion quite loudly about Miles Morales on the PS5 or 4, depending on where you played it, being quite short and snappy, and for that reason didn't lose its focus, whereas the original Spider-Man, as good as it was, at times was a bit of a meandering mess. Mess is a strong word, but you get my drift. Mm-hmm. Whereas this feels tighter and more direct. What's your thought?
I think if you've got a shorter game, if it's that good, you won't notice what time you've been playing it. I mean, Miles Morales, I finished that, and not one point did I think, oh, this is a short game. I just thought, what an experience that was. What a fantastic game that is. And I'm always for quality over quantity all the time. Always have been. I'd rather have an open world game that's 20 to 30 hours with a fantastic story than one that is just completely padded out with fetch quests and side quests that are absolutely meaningless.
Could the first game be guilty of that, do you think?
I think minor, because that it's,
I was going to say, you're talking to the guy here who's played it through probably a minimum of twice on PS4, and on his second playthrough on the remastered version on PS5, having maxed out everything.
I think you're, to a certain extent, maybe a little bit, but I think if you get some of these more popular open world games with these massive maps, take all the side quests out and fetch quests, how long's a story in them? Probably not much longer than what it is in these.
No.
And I just think, especially with the Spider-Man games, the side quests, some of them are a little bit, but they're, a little bit fetch questy, if that's such a word, but it is linked into the story. Whereas some of these open world games are padded out so much, there's nothing to do with it. I've lost my dog, go and fetch my dog from the river and all this. It's nothing to do with the story. Whereas all these are sort of part of what Peter Parker is, or Miles Morales is. So, I remember this reared up with Last of Us 2 and someone saying, oh, you can complete the story in 25 hours. That's the ripoff. Not really, because I'm sorry, that is one of the best 25-hour experiences if you could do it that quick. I mean, I spent about 40 hours in that. But if you could do that game that quick, that is one of the highest quality 25 hours you'll spend in gaming. That's how good that story is. It doesn't matter how long it is, that's the story they're telling you. But other people, we're all different. Gamers are different. We're all, we like different things. Some people love them big open worlds. They love, all the fetch quests and the different bits and pieces. They love that whole experience. They love putting hundreds of hours in games, which is fine. We're all different. But for me, I'd always go for quality over quantity.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Mm.
New Game Plus and other content updates coming. I was playing it last night. Obviously, this is why I'm a complete, as always, if you're new to the show. I normally stay up too late playing video games and then come and record with probably 30 minutes sleep. It's not conducive to a healthy lifestyle, but it's applauded here at the show. we're gamers. That's why they invented energy drinks. And I survive on the Victorian energy drink, tea.
I see it as commitment.
Yeah. Got to get this stuff done so you can talk about, you can go on a podcast and talk about it. What's this? I mean, I was all geared up yesterday, as I was saying, ready to just start again, and go New Game Plus. I'm a little bit disappointed that's not on the table. I'm a little bit disappointed that's not tied to the Platinum, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I did. I had a brief skip through the old trophies last night, and I thought, oh, there isn't a New Game Plus one on there.
That's what I thought. Just before I went to bed, I went, oh, God, I better see if there's a New Game Plus trophy. There's a lot of them are locked and hidden. I'm wondering if they're story. And I tell you what, compared to all the Spider-Mans, it's not been throwing trophies around like confetti at a wedding.
No, not at all. But you can, I always go and view them anyway, the hidden ones. You can view them on there.
I know. Now, why does this not surprise me? Listeners, if you don't know the backstory of RGT, this is the kind of guy
that here we go.
Sneaks downstairs or sneaks to his parents' private present area, gets out his Master System, completes the game that he got with it, then wraps it all back up again, then opens it on Christmas Day, and his parents, who probably solved his youngest sibling, he's only got a sister as far as we know, but he did have a younger brother, sold that child into slavery for that console, and your face on Christmas Day kind of basically showed to your parents one of, why don't you get me the Mega Drive?
You're a bit like a politician there. You were truthful up to a point, but once it got to selling children, you'd exaggerated the story a little bit.
I do represent the village of Farmerton as their MP.
Yeah, that's sums it up.
And I sit in the House of Lords.
I bet you do, asleep with all the others because you've been up all night playing Spider-Man.
You don't even need to go in, to be honest, but you can claim your ham sandwich on the train if you go anywhere.
Yeah, clock in, 800 quid, clock straight out, home.
Back the next day, you know, got to pay off VR.
Yeah. Yeah, so back
we did a simultaneous
I know, it's how we roll.
Is that the mating call of a podcaster, do you think? They synchronise their until it is one continuous tone. And at that point, they're rutting like deers on a spring morning.
You need to get more sleep, seriously. Anyway, back to
save
New
me
Game
from
Plus.
Myself with this neck. Oh, okay, give me some more New Game Plus.
No, I'll just add, I was very surprised, yes. I did look through the trophies and I was surprised that wasn't on there because it was on the other two, wasn't it? So
yeah, I think give it a week or so and we'll see that drop. I mean, that's normally how these things play out. I didn't with the original one, but this one I should imagine we'll get New Game Plus pretty quickly because, again, because of the shortened runtime, I'd imagine you're going to be popping out with the Platinum pretty quickly. A New Game Plus is great because obviously you've got your skill sets from before, and then when you go through, you don't need to do all the collectibles. You can just do them. You can mainline the main story on the highest difficulty setting, and obviously because you're already level 50 or plus at that point, one would imagine with the New Game Plus, it's not a cakewalk on Ultimate, but you've got your skills to the point where it's a fun challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Right, up next, Tula Stars. We've finally got some details on the UK sales figures for September, courtesy of GameIndustry.biz, and it's definitely good reading for the team at Xbox, mainly due to the very successful launch of Starfield. According to the outlet, sales for the Xbox Series X and S improved month on month by a whopping 136% in September, and the Series X just about proving the most popular, followed by the 512GB Series S and 1TB Series S. The Xbox platforms benefited from the release of Starfield, with sales up to 136% month on month. In total, game console sales jumped 44% last month, with the PlayStation 5 taking the lead overall and Nintendo Switch coming in third place.
That's Xbox a crime.
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, with the announcement of the Switch 2, I think whoever's going to get one's holding off, I would imagine. So it's dropping. I mean, who wants a Switch anymore anyway? Xbox controllers sold very well too, with six of them in the top 10 best-selling accessories list. As for Starfield specifically, it was actually beaten to the top spot in the charts by EA Sports FC 24, but nevertheless fared very well. In terms of Xbox first party, its launch was narrowly behind Forza Horizon 5 for pure sales. The outlet also mentions that two-thirds of Starfield's sales were for the PC version rather than the Xbox Series X and S. All in all, a very successful month for Xbox in the UK. Let's see if the momentum continues into October.
Great news for Team Xbox. Obviously got the Activision Blizzard thing under their arm, waltzing into this feeling like absolute heroes, and quite rightly so. Starfield, for all intents and purposes, was the game the brand needed to stick the landing. No pun intended. Pun intended, let's face it. I want to be funny, don't I try? And it's been received well. All the bundled-in controllers and console skins. Starfield console skin, these new wrap skins have got for the Series X. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, they look good.
It's like a Velcro suit for your console. but certainly an interesting way of freshening it up. And better than changeable faceplates. Changeable faceplates are a little bit knockier, $19.99, if I'm being honest. And I don't like the way they're getting scalped either. It's with everything PlayStation, they just suffer from scalping. For them, it's great, but for real users, it sucks. But let's put this back in the frame of Xbox. We're celebrating their good news up there, 136% increase. Second place to PlayStation, but beating out the Switch, which is a sales phenomenon. still at this point. You know, the uptake of consoles, even 7 years into its lifespan, it is bewildering, if nothing else. So that's great news.
Surprised me as well. Two-thirds of Starfield sales for the PC version.
I was going to get to that, because when you look through that lens...
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
I mean, I wonder how many out of all the millions of Game Pass users, or subscribers, I should say, I wonder what the percentage is of PC, people having Game Pass on PC, or whether they're playing on Netflix.
I would say two-thirds.
Because I wonder if that's why the controller sold so well as well, because people use them on the PCs, don't they?
I mean, it boggles my mind. Obviously, each different console has a different metric and a different user engagement. But the fact that two-thirds of the sales for this were on PC makes you wonder why they would even bother to nail the bits of plastic together and not just be full PC from the start. Would Xbox be better off doing an Xbox-branded PC that's got all the specs that are needed to run the games to a good standard, but it's a good price? Would they not be better off just making a PC?
And then I suppose you could have Games Pass and Windows and everything all built
in. Steam, whatever you want.
Yeah.
You could even, at that point, you could even do PlayStation. You know, all the modern consoles, they normally spit out through HDMI. So... Really, hide it behind your TV, plug it in. No one's going to know. And you're getting the same experience, whether you want the Xbox experience and you want the UI for that, start up the Xbox app. If you want, you know, PlayStation, just stream the game there. If you want all your ROMs and your old school games and all that, they could have that covered. And I think they could probably build a version of Series X that is more closely resembled to a PC. Open up the UI, allow people to, well, obviously come with Windows on it or some version. Is that the way forward for them?
Yes. I'll tell you what, I think you're probably right on that. I think with so many people having Games Pass on PC and people having games, because I think you can have Games Pass on the Steam Deck as well, can't you?
You can.
So I think, you know, that might be the way forward. Offering that as a service with their own, you know, Microsoft PC. You could have it as a Games Pass gaming machine.
Call it Xbox Home and then leave it at that. You know. Yeah. It's obviously great news, but the reason why it's in the news is for that reason. You know, two-thirds.
That's incredible.
Obviously, they were slaving away trying to get their Xbox owners, you know, all the exclusives, some parenthesis here, some sweaty guy who lives in his mum's cellar with a little bit too keen an interest in sci-fi. Okay. Penchant for what's-its, surrounded by circuit boards and Lynx deodorant or Axe, which is used as either a way of calming down his bodily odour or generally just sprays it around as an air freshener, covered in what looks like Cheeto dust. Or that could be dust. Maybe it's just sleep from their eyes, because they sleep in the chair that they sit in. Probably work from home type. That was obviously a joke.
We love our PC.
I mean, basically substitute PC for PS5 this week and you've got that guy. Maybe I am a frustrated PC gamer.
Sounds it.
Maybe it's time I dusted off the 286 and
286.
My copy of Monkey Island VGA.
Yeah, don't try running Starfield on it. That'd be a little bang and a few sparks, and that'd be it.
No, I'm the sort of guy that would play Starflight and dress it up as Starfield.
And you'd have to end up putting it back in the cupboard with the poor PS3 and PS4 Pro. Now the Switch, that's probably been dumped now. Now you've got
the what? The Swatch?
The Swatch, yeah.
Yeah. No, that will never... By the time I get my hands on the Arkham Knight trilogy at Christmas, this will be the best place to play the very best superhero games.
PS5, no, I haven't touched it for months. No, Switch all the way.
Yeah, dead to me. Return to Arkham all the way.
Spider-Man, rubbish. Batman, that's the way forward.
Ugh, God. Talking of the way forward, it's the next bit of news, This Way to the Future. I don't know why we coined that. Headline. Maybe it's here from last week. I don't know. It was been a late night. Nintendo of America President Doug Bowser has reiterated in the same interview with Inverse how Nintendo accounts would carry over to a new generation of hardware. While he can't... Oh, that's why. That's why it's called this. It's okay. It makes sense to me now.
Clever.
Lack of sleep does not help. While he can't comment and won't comment on rumors about a Switch successor, Bowser did essentially reconfirm Nintendo accounts will be utilized going forward to ease the transition process. Mention how the goal is to minimize the dip you typically see in the last year of one cycle and begin in another is exactly what he had to say. Good old Doug Bowser. that had to be on his CV, didn't it?
Did you happen to see my last name, Mr. Miyamoto, or no? No? Okay, fine.
Probably changed it just for the
changed interview. It. Was Smith.
Yeah, it's it was Bowser. Doug Smith. Yeah, Bowser.
Doug Smith says, well, first, I can't comment, or I won't comment, I should say, on the rumours that are out there. For one thing, we've done with the Switch to help with that communication and transition is the formation of the Nintendo account. In the past, every device we transitioned to had a whole new account system. Creating the Nintendo account will allow us to communicate with our players if and when we make the transition to a new platform to help ease that process or transition. He goes on to say, our goal is to minimise the dip you typically see in the last year of one cycle. Yeah, we've heard you say that, Doug. Back in June, Nintendo president Shintaro Furukawa spoke about how the company wanted to make the jump to next gen as smooth as possible for customers by utilizing their existing account system. Furukawa says, as for the transition from Nintendo Switch to the next generation machine, we want to do as much as possible in order, all repeating themselves here, aren't they? He says it, and he says his quote. We've got you verbatim here, Furukawa. Calm down. Although there's seemingly confirmation that Nintendo accounts will carry over to the next generation system, keep in mind there's no official statement just yet about whether or not users' existing libraries of digital titles will carry over. Now, that would be the ultimate FU by Nintendo. If you get to keep your account, you log into your Super Switch, Switch 2, call it what you want. They better call it Super Switch. They better call it Super Switch. No, and the first edition, that like the launch model, you can get like a SNES skin.
I wonder if I've got a Switch U.
That probably is what it's going to get called. Thing is, people say, oh, well, they didn't know, when they brought out the Wii U. I've been thinking about this a lot because I was in this camp and I bought a Wii U, so it launched, so I'm perfectly poised to say this. Everyone was saying, oh, they're really confused. People must be really confused because I think it's an add-on for the Wii and this, that, and the other. Really? Really? So, two consoles before, three consoles before, whatever it is, they can launch the Super NES. And in the 80s and early 90s, people were that swept up that they didn't walk in and think, oh, was this an add-on for the NES that little Timmy's already got? No. Mm. They knew it was a 16-bit. They knew it was an upgrade. I love Nintendo apologists who say the reason why the Wii U didn't sell is because people were confused about the naming convention. Yeah, that might be part of it. But at the end of the day, it was garbage.
Oof.
I put down my hard-earned money for a Wii U at launch and you'll hear about this, no doubt. Me and original Tom have probably talked about this as series one. And I think we've got an upcoming episode where we catch up with OG Tom, which will air next week because me and RGT will be at Format, living our best lives. My launch game for the Wii U was a Wii game because there was nothing on the Wii U that I wanted to play that I hadn't played already in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think the best time to get a Wii U was about 3 years after launch because, one, they were cheap. Two, there was a bit more of a library. And I think, me personally, I like the Wii U. I think if you go back to it now as its own console, I think it's I like it. I quite like the graphics. I like the using the Wii U pad with certain games, you know, when you're playing Batman and you've got your map on there and you excuse me, and you got your
I'm not here to say it didn't find its feet.
Mm.
But at launch it was a big insult.
Oh yeah, launch was yeah.
And then it took 12 months to get a game you might even be slightly curious about.
Yeah. No, it's a disaster at launch.
I tell a lie, I had Zombie U at launch, and that was awful. It really was. I think that's me being kind.
Yeah, and I think, was that a port from something else, Zombie U?
No, I think it was a remake of a similar game that was on maybe Amstrad or Spectrum. It was.
Just a direct port, pixels.
The original game was based on something from that era, and then this was like a new generation take on it. It's not terrible, but it's a roguelike, and I didn't really know what the concept of them was at the time.
Mm.
And therefore, the whole process got a bit lost on me. And even now, when I revisit, having, you know, looking through the landscape of there being a roguelite or a rogue game-based game, type loop around every corner these days, it's still pants.
Mm.
And I recently repurchased it for PS4, maybe? Zombie? Mm-hmm. It's dreadful. I'm not... Write in, okay, we'll give you the contact details in a moment. If I'm wrong, educate me. Please do. Show me.
I've never played it, though.
Doesn't that tell you everything?
Yeah. Yeah, there's many other games I'd go to first.
But this whole transitioning through the Nintendo accounts, if that doesn't mean that you carry over your library of existing digital titles, that will suck, especially if there's no backwards compatibility. That would be a thumb in the eye.
Yeah, I think if they don't do backwards compatibility and they don't carry over your library, then this is Wii U over again. Because some people have got massive digital libraries.
What?
Massive.
You say Wii U all over again. What if it's just a really great console that just can't play Switch games?
Well, then it's got to find its whole own market. You know, if it's just a really good console, but it's, you know, hasn't got no backwards compatibility or anything like that, it's going to have to build its own legacy again. Whereas if you have that backwards compatibility, it will piggyback off the Switch.
You got to wonder that it's the only reason why you would want to. I mean, yes, you want someone to have a Nintendo account, full stop, and that'd be the end of it.
Mm.
But it got to be the only reason why they would put themselves through the pain of creating a seamless process from one through end, from beginning to end process of it being this slick. Mm. I don't want to get carried away. I don't want people to think that they've heard me say that it's backwards compatible. I've given my thoughts on that. It doesn't make any business sense for it to be, but it certainly would do your existing customer base a lot of good. But saying that, all the same arguments about the Wii U, it can play Wii games, so it is just an add-on. If this could play Switch games, why would you buy your new game on day one?
Yeah, I think it's that sort of middle ground. I think with being backwards compatibility, the same with PS5 and Series X and S, it's that it takes the pressure off a bit from getting this new library out quick, because you still have games in the old library you haven't played that you can go and play. So it takes that pressure off a little bit, I think. I know it didn't really work that well for the Wii U, but there was also, I remember when I got my PS5, I still had a bit of a back catalogue I still had to play on my PS4. So there was games I could just drop into the PS5, carry on playing, which were still new games. They weren't next gen. They looked a bit better, but they were still there to play. So that sort of eases the blow of, oh, hang on, I've got a new console with one game for 6 months. So I suppose they see from a business point of view, it takes the pressure off them a bit with getting them titles out quick.
Mm. Okay, well, I agree with you and live in hope that my beloved Nintendo Switch collection can come with me on the journey to Super Switch, because if not, then ouch. That's the news. Community corrections. Did we miss anything? Do you have an opinion or take on the news we missed, dear listener? If so, RGT, how would the collective masses get in contact with me and say, George, Zombie U is probably one of the greatest games ever made. Mm. The reason you're not into it is because you need to get good. How would they get in contact and let me know how to get good at Zombie U?
It's you can contact us at questions@unofficialcontrolartpodcast.com or DM us on Instagram or Twitter, or you can drop into Discord where we have a community corrections section and tell George, please get more sleep. Please don't stay up all night playing games. Please
come on, 500 hours a day. Do the locomotion. The locomotion with me. You got to sing your hips now. Come on, baby. Come on. Ooh, yeah.
1 hour's sleep. And then
who needs any more when you're a superhero with spider abilities?
He's got all, you can't see him, but he's got all what's at dust down his front.
Covered in cobwebs.
On the 286 all night. He's been the same t-shirt he had on last week.
That might be true. I don't. The problem with t-shirts and cupboards is I stack my t-shirts, I fold them, and I put them on top of each other. So when you open the cupboard, I don't know if this is just me, but you take the t-shirt from the top of the pile.
Need to stop rotate.
I need to turn the whole pile upside down. And then I might find to come out looking like Tweedledum and my little pot belly sticking out, and my t-shirt that did fit before I turned the pile upside down, looking like a crop top, covering just my ample man bosom, and then
it's a new look,
distended belly sticking out underneath the very tight t-shirt.
Wear it to format.
That look?
Yeah, I'm expecting that. I want you to rock
with
up
some
with
Daisy
crop.
Dukes. I can't imagine
crop and a Crocs.
Crocs. The show's most essential footwear, Crocs.
Yeah.
Just about get away with going to the shop to replenish your gamer snacks in Crocs. Just. Are they, just don't look at him.
First time we've seen daylight for 6 months.
They're a bit of a warning, aren't they? Like, this guy's on the edge, mental health-wise, generally. He's wearing Crocs to the shop. A crop top. Daisy Dukes and the cowboy Crocs as well. They're like thigh high brown Crocs.
Wow. That's a look.
With that spurs. I was going to say, this frivolity needs to just calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because what we're really for here is a Saviors of New York. As Peter Parker and Miles Morales, we are actively swinging through digital recreation of New York. We're web swinging. We're venom blasting. That sounds like a teenage occupation, that does, doesn't it? Venom
blasting. Come on.
Forgive me, listeners, for
asking. Get back on track.
Venom blasting Mary Jane left, right, and Chelsea. All jokes aside, this is a superb sequel, or you could say a trilogy, third game from Insomniac, and their really quite inspiring take on the Spider-Man universe. Obviously, the first game started on PS4, was remastered for PS5. Miles Morales was a transitional title, which started on PS5, but was also available on PS4. And now we've arrived at Spider-Man 2, containing both protagonists and the hint of something a little bit darker from Spider-Man's historic past. They arrive in New York, and that whole scenario is framed around a mysterious character, the Hunter. RGT, let's first get some things out of the way. Someone installs the game, the jump down on the PS5. Me and you have talked off air about this. Performance versus fidelity. Just talk the listener through which one they might. Now, don't say, oh, you have to pick this one because this is how I play it.
Give the pros and cons of both because me and you are
equally so representative of two different camps of gaming.
I've played a bit of time in both. Fidelity mode, you've got your fidelity with performance mode. Fidelity is your super, super crisp graphics at 30 FPS. But what they've done on performance mode is obviously you'll get your 60 FPS, but they have included ray tracing within the 60 FPS. Must be one of the only few games that have done that. Now, for me, I know you're different, George, you prefer your fidelity. I think for me, I play in performance mode for the reason being the drop in graphics is very minimal, whereas I find in fidelity mode, the drop in frame rate is quite a lot. So I think the least for me is performance, but I think either one
looks stunning. Now, yes. I was looking at this yesterday. I don't have 120 hertz capable TV, at least not at 4K.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have VRR. I've got a Sony 4K set, HDR, but it's getting on a little bit now. It's approaching nearly a decade old, eight years at this point, I believe. If you had 120 hertz and VRR, play on fidelity mode. Surely it takes all that away and makes it beautiful.
I've never thought of that. I don't know if it works like that.
Report back to us next week.
I still think you'll find that's still at a 30 FPS, so you'll still have that. For me, I prefer the smoother fight, and I prefer the smoother swinging. I think I've done the same with Ratchet and Clank, you know, another Insomniac game. I'd played that on fidelity mode, and then I actually tried performance and thought, oh, wow, that is
so smooth.
Well,
they had a halfway house, didn't they? They had 40 FPS with everything on as well as an intermediary mode.
Yes. But for me, personally, I think the drop in the graphics from the fidelity to performance mode is very, very minimal. Still looks absolutely stunning in performance mode. So having that 60 FPS for me, I know it's not for everyone. Some people don't mind. I mean, games like Starfield are locked at 30. You wouldn't know that game's 30 FPS. That looks brilliant in 30 FPS. That's really, you know, I couldn't find fault with that at all at 30 FPS. So some games do it well at 30 FPS, but I just prefer, if I can get the smoother frame rate, that's what I like. You know, when you're moving that right analog stick, moving your camera around, it's, you know, buttery smooth. I like it like that. But, you know, that's why the options are there, because it's something for everyone. So if you prefer the big, glorious graphics and you don't mind a 30 FPS, you know, it's got you covered.
What I would say to people is don't dip your toe in the water and you'll know no different. And this thing is absolutely stunning.
Either one you play it on, it looks absolutely phenomenal. One of the best looking games, I think.
We'll get onto our opinions in a moment, but that's that section of the game sorted out. So you're in the game. We're not going to do spoilers here. We're going to try and avoid those as much as possible, being as bleak as possible. But one thing that's been leveled at the game in the reviews that I've seen has been that it's more of the same. So if you're coming from Spider-Man and Miles Morales, I jumped straight in and was already operating at a very high level. There are some things that have changed in terms of the web weapon wheel, and you've got like a new selection of gadgets now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were an aficionado of the first game and Miles, and I've platinum both and a new game plus the original on PS4, halfway through new game plus and it on the remastered on PS5, and having done two run-throughs of Miles, I jumped in. I was straight away, straight on the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit my first swing through New York, because the game quite seamlessly drops you into it. That's one of the things I loved about the first game. The way you go into the gameplay is great.
It's fantastic.
There was a few clumsy slams into buildings, runs up the wall, sort of. Oh, God, no, please.
Someone eating their dinner and had Spider-Man, dong, on the window. Oh, Yeah, George's day started.
Looking like a window guy. Yes, yeah, some poor digital character in Spider-Man just sat eating his dinner, as you say, and that's whoosh, straight up on the glass. Like, what the hell? As he slides down. That's Spider-Man. Very, 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 very similar controls. The combat's almost exactly the same. I didn't think there would be any need really to change that up. I was a bit nervous about whether they would or not. And obviously we knew going in that there were going to be new gadgets and things. And I thought, oh no. But it's just different enough to actually.
Yeah, well, a couple of things on that. I think when people say it's more of the same, it is more of the same. But you've got to remember these two games were phenomenal. So it's going to be more of the same. But secondly, it's added to.
Oh, yeah. It's everything from the first two games, but dialed up to 11.
Yes.
The seamless transition in the fighting scenes, between cutscenes and gameplay, during just traversal around the city.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, you change, you know, changing characters, bang, done, straight away, instant. You know, it's really, really good. And also, I think you'll find, well, I've found this as well, and I think a few people online have, the combat is slightly harder.
I agree, yeah.
It is tougher, so I think there's little things they've tweaked, so they know most of the people have played the other two coming into this, and they think, well, this is going to be a cakewalk. Let's just dial it up a bit. So yeah. You come in, think, whoa, hold on, you know. And I think they've generally done that through the game. Everything is that little bit better. Everything is been improved, whether it's graphics, whether it's weapon wheels, whether it's upgrades, whether it's skills, gadgets, everything is upgraded, which is they've done a fantastic job.
Obviously, one of the first things that you come across that is new to the game, again, without any spoilers, but it's in the ads. We've seen it in some of the and if you didn't want any spoilers, why are you listening to an episode of Spider-Man 2? But no story spoilers, but obviously quite early into the game, you get to stretch your web wings as a new way to transition and traverse through the city. What's your take on the web wings, RGT?
I obviously knew about the web wings before playing the game. My main thing was this needs to be executed perfectly because you need to have, because you travel so fast when you're web swinging. If you had realistic web wings, you're going to hit the ground probably slower than what you are if you're swinging. So it needs to be that bit exaggerated, but it has to benefit you from swinging. And they've done
It's slightly slower than swinging, but the higher average speed means that you do actually transition at a quicker speed.
Yeah, but I think they've executed it brilliantly. And also, it's going to be one of them where you need to be able to have somewhat of a realistic controls. Where you pull them back on the analog to raise yourself up almost like a flight stick, but you need it so it's controllable. So you need that middle ground. And I think they've nailed it because you can, the first time you use your web wings, I was just like, oh, yeah, this is really controllable. This is really good.
It took me a little bit of time to get used to it, I have to admit, because the actual sensitivity on the stick when you're flying is a lot. But as you get used to it, you realize why, because you can literally dance through the tiniest of gaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is probably as exhilarating or maybe more than web swinging. But don't ever think that you won't just be web swinging too, because I use the web swings to make quick 90 degree turns. I use the web swings to get myself a bit more height.
Mm. And I think it's also, I think from the first two games, you'd go over Central Park and you'd be swinging. You think, oh, I can't, you know, you could quickly do that web dash, but you'd have to drop down and swing through the trees because there's nothing to connect your webs to. Whereas now you can swing as you come to Central Park, put your wings on, glide across the park, they carry on with your web swinging the other side. And that's made them little areas so seamless. That's brilliant. And you really, once you master it, and it's quite easy to master, once you've mastered it, it's so much part of your swinging. You add it in all the time, whereas I was worried that would be a gimmick that they'd added, just bolted on, that people probably wouldn't use, but it's all part of it. It's so well done.
Well, the good news, listeners, as well, is that scattered throughout the city are updrafts, wind tunnels, as in between the skyscrapers, the wind funnels enough to give you a boost.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, make traversing across the rivers easier, there's also slingshots which are designated on your map by the sign of an old school kid's catapult.
Mm.
If you go and put yourself in one of those, that'll give you a speed, a height, and a boost, and allow you to web wing across some of the widest areas in the game. So I applaud it for putting that in. As the game develops, you get to create your own slingshots without saying too much. It's a skill you can unlock within the attributes menu.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes the whole web wing thing that little bit more seamless in your use of it. Obviously, you can still hold R2 and X, and you will do a ground sort of spring and get maybe 6 stories high. And from there, you can transition to your web as normal. But they needed something to give you that boost for your web wings, and they've put it in. So generally, the web winging instead of web swinging, the web winging has been a thoughtful inclusion and one that certainly aids journeying around the map. Fast travel only unlocks, obviously, when you've completed an area 100%. Or to a period that they're happy with, and then you get the 2 ticks, and that area is then fast travelable, which I think is cool because I only use fast travel in the first Spider-Man, really out of curiosity to see the subway transition animations, which were hilarious.
I think I just used it in New Game Plus to get through that.
Ah, right, okay.
I never used it in the actual game itself.
Now, it's a shame that it's nice that they've included the transition animations between the two characters. You know, one character's doing X, you know, so you catch them almost a GTA style thing. Yes, it's been done before, but it worked well in this one because although it wasn't needed because web swinging was so nice and fun that you didn't really need to use fast travel. Like I say, the artistry that was in those subway animations was worth it alone. And it's the same with I'm going to see what Miles is doing. And that's always like, oh, yeah, okay. I've had a few sort of not that great ones, but then there's been a couple of absolute bangers, and I've been like, yeah, this is great. Yeah. Obviously, as you make your way around the city as one iconic hero or the other, the good news is that you will occasionally bump into the other Spider-Man, and they will actually drop down and assist you in a street fight or one of the crimes. Yeah. And the first time he dropped down, I was like, oh wow. And what I would say is, as you get through the game, he's not the only person that drops in and helps you. And that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there was a part I was swinging. I wasn't even doing a mission. I wasn't doing a sight. I was just swinging through the city. And in the distance, I saw him go past the other way. And I was just like, oh, that's a nice touch. That's brilliant. That's really good. Cool. It's just that reminded me of GTA 4. When you had the Lost and Damned and the Ballad of Gay Tony, you could pass your characters from other games doing missions that you'd seen when you'd played that game, and that reminded me of that. And that's a nice touch because it makes you realise that he isn't just going to appear when you need him to. He's actually in the city doing bits. That's really good.
Really cool. So in terms of helping people that are new to the Spider-Man franchise on PlayStation, the specific Insomniac one, is there anything else you want to impart with them before we get stuck into the our discussion and thoughts about the game in general?
No, I think we just about covered it. I think like most of it we'll get into as we cover it. I think it is, like we said, it's Spider-Man, it's Miles Morales, but everything is taken to that next level. So whether it's your suits, whether it's your gadgets, whether everything has been upgraded. And I think, and the main thing for me is nothing, absolutely nothing seems a bolt-on.
Mm.
Everything is engineered into the game for the purpose of making that game better. And I think they've done a phenomenal job with this.
My only information I want to pass on, and it's a strategy I developed in the first Spider-Man game, and it served me well there, and it served me well again in Miles Morales. And it certainly, I think, helps from an enjoyment factor of the game. And I think you're playing this way as well, is do just lose yourself in the side missions first.
Yes. Yes.
Do the collectibles that you see. It's not a grind. They're quite enjoyable. And the whole time you're doing that, you're perfecting your web swinging skills.
Exactly.
You're perfecting your fighting skills on lower level enemies. At the same time, you're attributing, you're ratcheting up a lot of skill points. And you're also ratcheting up a lot of suit upgrades, which means then as you progress through the game, it's slightly easier. It's still a challenge, but you've got things in your arsenal that are going to help you progress and be more enjoyable in that progression. So enjoy those bits.
And I'd probably say even more so for this game over the other two, because you do have the two characters now. So you not only have you got upgrades for Peter, you've got upgrades for Miles. Not only have you got suits for Peter, you've got suits for Miles, but not only have you got upgrades for both, for skills, you've got joint skills you can upgrade as well together.
Correct.
So there's even more emphasis on. I mean, I think I was 16% through the game and I've done one mission, because I was just, apart from the introduction, obviously, but I'd done one main mission on myself, and I was just going around finding these extra bits and pieces and upgrading, and it's never a chore. I don't feel like fetch quests, because you're learning new things as you go and skills as you go, and yes, absolutely brilliant experience.
Wonderful. Okay. With that all said and done, hopefully that's given people enough of an idea. They can revisit this if they've not picked it up yet. They're picking it up this week, or if they're just playing through it slowly, they can take our advice on board. Fidelity, we've covered off performance fidelity. We've covered off some of the ways to traverse the city. We've certainly covered off how to get some good experience points in as you progress through the game, and I implore you to play it that way, but play it however you feel, listener. It's your world. It's what you want to do, even if you just want to swing around or walk around. There was one particular thing before we head into more of a critical analysis about the game. The city looks fantastic, no doubt about it, but when you're swinging around, you don't really get to appreciate the detail. I went on a bike ride with a friend.
Yeah.
On the ground, at a slow speed. Now, two things I want to cover here. The first one, it's only when you're down on the ground, you know, going around at a normal NPC speed that you see the detail, the level of detail at ground level that you normally swing by and ignore is phenomenal. This city, as an open world, not as interactable as some ones, I admit, but at the same token, maybe more in some ways, is beautiful.
Stunning. Yeah, it's absolutely. So Mrs. RGT, that one where you are on the bike with your friend having a bike ride, she just stood and watched and couldn't believe. She was just like, that looks phenomenal.
The second comment about the bike riding is when you're on a real bike and you freewheel, the back ratchets like click, 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 click.
Yeah.
That through the DualSense.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's great.
I know I always bang on about the DualSense, but with this as well, that's another thing Mrs. RGT was like wowed about, when you get messages through on your phone and it's through the controller speaker.
Yeah.
They've really made use of that controller speaker. You scroll your thumb on the touchpad to open your phone up, and it's just become second. You scroll up to open your camera. You know, everything is added in. And also what I noticed as well.
One thing, I'm going to get off the fence here and say this.
Yeah.
I don't find the DualSense touchpad to be as responsive as I want it to be. I felt like the PS4's touchpad was quicker. I was like swiping left and nothing was happening. I was thinking, am I dumb here? Because this is how I get
it. You have to be very, very light on it. You have to do a little just light touch. You're right with that. I think the PS4 one is more responsive, but I think it's more because of the material it's made out of. I think they need to make that touchpad out of a different material to the controller.
Almost glass.
It's a strange sort of material. But also, they've really used the rumble and the haptics well in that. I noticed without no spoilers, there was a certain mission with jet skis and boats. And whenever you cut on a cutscene to a different jet ski or a different boat or an airplane, every rumble was different. And the rumble actually sounded and felt like a jet ski. I could feel it down the bottom as though the jet was in the water. And then it went to a boat and that was more of a different rumble. And then it went to, and every rumble was different. And I just thought, that's amazing that they can program that in as well as graphics and gameplay, blah, blah, blah. And I just think, you know, this is what I said about Forza Motorsport, the new one. I think if they had their own controller version of that, with all them controls in, that would make that game phenomenal. And I think this really shows how much, not just graphically, but sound and sense through your hands really improves the game.
Mm. So, with all that said and done, let's get all Barry Norman on it for a moment. Let's let's get critical here.
Let's get critical, critical. I want to get critical. Let's get critical. Let me see your console talk. I don't know. It started
another theme tune.
I think sleep.
You need an album.
I think what the world needs is not that.
To get sleep.
Yeah, I think that's what the world needs. But let's dig in. Obviously, Insomniac. There's lots of talk. Are they the best PlayStation developer? I've said off air to you and our other co-host. Just a quick update on the co-host. Bobby's on holiday in Disneyland, enjoying Epcot Center yesterday. Seb, very busy boy. He's been deep in the trenches for us. He's hopefully when we get back from format, not next week, but the week after, we'll have a full team get together. So we've got our two American co-hosts, Bobby and Seb, New York and Texas represented. And then you've got your two English hosts, co-hosts, call us what you like. No, I won't go there. But obviously we're representing England in the most average fashion you can imagine. We're not quite the global celebrities that Seb and Bobby are. Well, you are. I'm nothing, as I get reminded. I was the founder, CEO, and president of the show, and now I am but a mere T-boy.
Yep. That's the way the company changes, I'm afraid.
Anyway, let me get back into this. This conversation we were having off air between ourselves was that is Insomniac now the greatest developer that PlayStation own? Now, I am very inclined to agree. That work rate has been phenomenal from them. From the first Spider-Man through to Miles Morales through to Ratchet and now this, it's been just an outpouring of high quality.
And not only that, no. And yeah, and no misses either.
No misses. Now, I have floated the idea that if they can bring out Wolverine and it stick the landing, then they will be the greatest developer in the PlayStation arsenal. Mm-hmm. And that's no mean feat. I mean, there's some absolute bangers out there. Let's compare them to Naughty Dog as an example.
I mean, they were the poster boys 5 years ago, you know.
But their work rate has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I think that studio, I don't want to be controversial here. I mean, we're planning on doing a What the Hell's Going On at PlayStation episode because I think there's a deeper story in there. Maybe when we come back from format, that may be what we'll do.
Definitely.
We've said off air and on air, it feels a little bit Sega 32X-y at the moment, and you're throwing money at all the wrong things, but actually not producing the things they're famous for and the things that, I say the things that sell console, the PS5's doing gangbusters, so what do I know? Mm. But certainly a lack of these multiplayer games, free-to-play multiplayer games they're working on seem to have been quietly canned or forgotten about. But that's left a hole where those studios now need to get back on with their single-player titles if they're ever going to do those again. And a strange place. But within that ecosystem, Insomniac just cracking on. And fair play to them. Naughty Dog probably need to announce what they're working on pretty quickly. And if it's not as far down the pipeline as I hope it is, then will we see a PS5 game from them this gen?
I'm getting a bit worried they've popped all their eggs into the online basket and it's not worked and they're a bit lacking in content.
I love, do you know what makes me laugh about that? They acquire Bungie. They send Bungie in to do an analysis of the, now, not forgetting that PlayStation has produced bangers time and time again. Now, I've spent a lot of time with Destiny. I've also enjoyed the Halos up until they stopped making them. But I wouldn't say they're a hallmark of quality, yet they send them in to do an analysis on The Last of Us multiplayer game. And they said this isn't going to fly. These are rumors, listener. Obviously, bear with me. They allegedly said it's not going to fly, and therefore it gets cancelled. What? I know Destiny is relatively popular across a multitude of platforms, but it's not that popular. So I ask you, what the hell do they know?
Was it that bad? I know Naughty Dog aren't really, you know, known for their multiplayer online.
The Factions was loved, and the Factions, Last of Us Factions, is a solid experience. Mm. And if this had been more of the same, fair play, it's enjoyable.
Mm.
But Destiny developer Bungie said no. We get a little sidetracked. We do here. Mm. But it's a crazy world we're living in. So are they now the best developer? I think they're one game away from being absolute PlayStation icons, if I'm honest with you. And that's not forgetting their brand history as well. They're not new to this, are they?
No. I mean, and this
obviously, you've been a big fan of theirs. Why don't you just walk us through some of their titles to this point that have been standout for you?
Well, obviously, especially I think this generation, I think they've been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, with the Ratchet and Clank, fantastic game, looked brilliant. You've now got your Miles Morales, which again, you know, people were releasing, we've got to say, people were releasing games at the start of this generation where we were saying, oof, you know, I was expecting a bit more from that for this generation, expecting a bit more. Miles Morales comes out, you play on the PS5, and you think, oh, actually, this is what we've been waiting for. I know it's still weren't pushing the machine to its limits, but you started to see that little hint of what can actually be possible on these machines. And even, you know, even going back to their older stuff, I mean, they done the Xbox exclusive, didn't they? What was that? The Sunset Overdrive. And I've only briefly played that. And you can see sort of where the DNA for Spider-Man came from that.
Definitely.
But that was Xbox must be shooting themselves in the foot by letting Insomniac go.
Yeah.
You know, because
we unearthed some evidence within the show that I think Xbox turned that down.
Mm. Yeah. That's unbelievable, isn't it, really? That's a big thumbs down, unfortunately.
Obviously, a lot of things happened along the timeline for that to have got to that point, but certainly there was a world where Microsoft could have pitched and done Spider-Man, but they chose not to.
Mm.
Crazy thought.
So, I mean, even going right back, didn't Insomniac do Spyro originally? Were they the Spyro developers originally?
I think so. I think, obviously, let's crank it back to PS3. Obviously, I think you've played through, which one did you play through? You got the collector's edition for it on PS3. A really sexy looking thing that I'm quite jealous of. Rift in Time? No, that's the latest
one. Oh, Crack in Time.
Crack in Time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all them Ratchet and Clanks as well. I love those. They got that little sort of adult humour, you know, with the funny titles, you know, like Cracking Time and Up Your Arsenal and all that. But they're still so playable, even if you're not.
Have you ever read anything Up Your Arsenal?
Anyway, they're also so playable. So jeez. I will just gloss over that. Yeah, they are brilliant.
The fact you're glossing over that means yes. Because you didn't flat out deny it.
Like I was saying, they if you don't like 3D platformers and action 3D platformers, they're still great fun to play. I think they've got a good story. And I'm actually surprised, we go back to Naughty Dog, I'm surprised they didn't take Jack and Daxter that route as well, because they could have done. That was that sort of similar games at the time. But anyway, yeah, I just think even from their back catalogue and where they've come from, and then they got to Xbox dropped them, they come to Sony, and I just think they've been phenomenal for Sony, absolutely phenomenal. And I just think so far, Spider-Man 2, I haven't finished it, so this is just an early quote, could, for an all-round game, graphics, performance, this could be the best game on the system so far, I think.
Wow. You stand by that?
Yeah, no, I do. I just think...
Spyro and Resistance.
Oh, yeah, because they done the Resistance, didn't they, for the packing game for the first one for the PS3 launch. Yeah, I do stand by that, because I just think every box is ticked on it. You know, from what I've played, even going through to photo mode, it's one of the best photo modes I've used before.
Mm.
It's the freedom in photo mode. where you can just move the camera all round. You can, you know, and it just looks phenomenal. So even, like I say, photo mode, your skills, your gadgets, graphically, performance-wise. I mean, they're one of the few that have added in 60-plus ray tracing. You know, it's all these little bits add up, and then you actually sit back and look at the game. And I was, when I turned it off last night before I went to bed, and I was just thinking, I think this could be the best game on PS5 so far. For us all round, all in.
I think I completely agree with you. It's that much fun. Narrowing the lens down a little bit so we focus just on Spider-Man 2 exclusively. Again, no spoilers, but storyline-wise, does it hold up for you?
Yeah, so far, yeah.
I think the narrative seeds that were planted in the original Spider-Man and Miles Morales that are actually paying off right now as fully grown apple trees. In fact, God damn it, we've got an orchard at this point. I don't know what fruit to look at. There's literally bits dropping all over. One of the nice things, there's a couple of things that I've picked up on that are fun sort of jokes about the first game. I think he passes one of his backpacks and he's like, oh, I ought to keep better track of these.
Yeah.
And it was something like, imagine going around collecting all these up or something like that. And I was like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Easter eggs to keep an eye out for on things. That's brilliant.
So many.
Yeah, from the games to movies, that they've dropped little bits in. And I think story-wise, if you kept it on the same as before, people are going to say, oh, it's just the same thing over and over again. If you completely change it and bring new people in, everyone's going to say, well, you've taken it away from what made it good, but they've done both. You've still got them seeds. You're continuing your story. You're continuing your adventure and journey, but they've added, you know, different people coming in, different enemies coming in, but it hasn't detracted from the game too much. They're added in on the top of the story that you're following, and I think they've carried it out absolutely fantastically. Really, really good, seamless.
And this picks up a year and a half after the events of Miles Morales from things that have been said in the game. So from an in-game perspective, it's a year and a half later. So things have happened. Miles has obviously grown and changed a little bit. Mm. So is Peter. He looks like he's bulked up a bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it definitely, you can see the contrast between Spider-Man or Spider-Boy or both Spider-Men's. And obviously the carry on with the inclusion of Miles still learning to perfect his web swinging. So he's more chaotic on the end of the line. And
yeah,
his body spins unnaturally as he comes off and
exactly,
jumps
yeah, that's
and moves.
Brilliant.
The little difference touches between the two, they are actually very different to play.
Yeah.
And again, the sort of split off of the thread of the storyline between Peter's journey and I've done some missions now where maybe Miles starting to feel a bit maybe left out without going too far into it. And you're like, oh, crikey, yeah, I never thought about that dynamic. I never thought about how that would make that person feel. I never wondered whether, you know, how that person would react. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of things going on where I'm like, this is just really well done.
Another thing I think is really well written into the story is there's certain bits they'll mention from previous games, or it will be added in, or there'll be a character, or there'll be someone, and it's just enough to remind you, because you know you may have played the game 2 years ago, Miles Morales, and it's just enough to make you remind of why that person or that story or that street is important.
Well, sadly, due to the skill of editing here at the UCP, what you didn't realise there is we lost RGT. No doubt he was saying probably the most profound thing he will ever say, but we've lost him. So I shall continue on my own. Sadly, there's been a power cut where he is. We've had some serious storms in the UK. Whether it's related to that, who knows? I would say it's more likely that the 4K corporation that owns this show nowadays has promoted everybody inside its own organisation so much that paying bills seems to be beneath people. But in the lore of the show, the Ponsonbury estate, like the Lannisters, always pay their debts. To round out, really, I think where that whole thing was going is Spider-Man 2 is quite literally the sum of its parts. And that sounds, George, why would you say something like that? Well, because it is more of the same, of that we won't lie, but it's been polished and refined to such a thin wedge that this game lands every single point. We talked in the news about how maybe its longevity in terms of storyline isn't maybe as all-encompassing as the original Spider-Man on PS4 and the remastered version on PS5, but that game tended to struggle under its own weight in the mid to late stage. Already 27% complete on this game, and one would imagine, I've heard rumours of the story slacking and other bits and bobs, but we will see how that pans out. But certainly a really great game. Next gen is most definitely arrived in the year of 2023. Of that, there can be no disagreement. We're finally starting to see the games that are pushing the console, or at least reaching the fidelity I envisaged when I first got the PS5. So with all that wrapped in, remarkable title, and I think that everyone's going to have a great deal of fun with it. We'll obviously check in with you as the weeks go on, and we'll give you a more thorough update when the game's completed. Probably by the time you hear us again, not next week, where we've got a special episode, catch up with OG Tom, but the week after, when we all return from format and business is resumed as usual, hopefully with all four members of the show together again, or at least three. One would think that we would have finished the game by then. It's that good, you can't put it down. So we'll see where that goes. All in all, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you have a great time with it. To those people new to the show, one would expect, as always, when we do these big cover-offs of big games, tentpole titles as they're called, we tend to attract a new listener. To those that are new to the show, we have a character called Stingray. He brings us the new releases. He's a childhood hero of ours that's taken on almost mythical status as far as the show's concerned. And we see him differently every week. Every person sees him differently. If I saw him now, I might see X. You're looking at the same guy, you see something completely different. That's the joy of Stingray, especially some of the guest episodes where people meet him for the first time. To that end, I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. It's time for a peek in what we affectionately call Stingray's boot, what's nestled between some counterfeit nappies and a dodgy copy of Battlefront all this week. These are the new release highlights for the week, October 23rd to October 29th, 2023. Listeners, these aren't digital or physical, or will be by the time this podcast is in your feed, but could be region dependent. Spring stock, wow. He gets out the car with his son, Wayne. Now, I'm seeing Ray as J. Jonah Jameson, but I'm seeing Wayne as a little miniature version of Miles Morales. He's almost the same size as a Pop Funko, and he's swinging around with his webs. The exterior is father, stroke Jonah J. Jameson, and he's using him as a almost like a skyscraper, which is quite honestly one of the oddest ways that I think I've seen him. Now, Stingray is a Mary Sue for all intents and purposes. How dare I? I am as a medium for us to look through this week's new gaming releases. Now, we frame that in Stingray because when we were kids, Stingray is the guy that would turn up, pop his boot, and you would get some not official, let's say that, videos, VHS, DVDs out of his boot. We now use him as a medium, as I say, to look through the new releases. So first up, we've got City Skylines 2 on the PC. Quite excited to see how this develops, October 24th. Raise the city from the ground up and transform it into a thriving metropolis with the most realistic city builder ever. Push your creativity and problem solving to build on a scale you've never experienced with deep simulation and a living economy. This is world building without limits. Up next, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. That's coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Switch and PC October 24th. The Origin of Stealth Action returns. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 unifies the beginning of the Metal Gear gameplay experience in one single package. Infiltrate enemy fortresses all over the globe and complete your missions with stealth and experience the thrilling cinematic story of the Metal Gear series. Next out the boot. Obviously, as I build the script, I do look at some of these games. And Scene Investigators on the PC, Eyebrow raised, October 24th. Scene Investigators is a deductive reasoning game for fans of the true crime genre. Step into the recreated crime scenes, observe closely for pieces of evidence, analyze possible motives behind the crimes, and uncover what truly happened. Next, and I do believe the voice actor for Gimli has returned for this. Oh, wow. Lord of the Rings Return to Moria, PC, October 24th. Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Return to Moria, the only survival crafting video game set in the fourth age of Middle-earth. The iconic fantasy world created by J.R.R. Tolkien, summoned to the Misty Mountains by Lord Gimli Lockbearer, players take control of a company of dwarves tasked to reclaim the lost spoils from the dwarven homeland of Moria, known as Khazad-dûm, or Drarodelph. In the depths below their feet, their quest will require fortitude, delving deep into the mines of Moria to recover its treasures. Oh my God, Ray, what you got here? PSVR 2 game. Vertigo 2 on the PSVR 2, October 24th. Vertigo 2 is a single-player VR adventure. Explore the depths of the vast quantum reactor as you descend to finish your journey home. Ooh. Now, this looks like a great game for fans of sort of old-school point-and-click type games, I would say. It's done in a proper 286 VGA graphic style. It's Banshee Knights on the PS5. Certainly stressing that machine out. PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, PC, October 26, 1986. Tornado Alley, USA. Go undercover as Boulder, an agent infiltrating the notorious religious cult known as the Banshee Knights. Face off against occultist biblical storms and an enigmatic car salesman turned preacher as you investigate the disappearance of a fellow agent and close friend. Wow. Do you know what? When you thought PSVR 2 was dead, it leaps up from the grave in Halloween style and comes for your throat. Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord 2, Quest 2, and PSVR 2, October 26. Strap on your proton pack. Thank goodness it's a proton pack. And VR headset and step into the world of Ghostbusters in an immersive virtual reality. Run your Ghostbusters HQ in a new city, San Francisco, and unravel a rich mystery in a new chapter for the Ghostbusters universe. Wield iconic equipment as you track, blast, and trap ghosts. Nearly stumbled over my own mouth in gripping encounters across an extensive and engrossing campaign. Go alone or join up with up to three friends in co-op to defeat a ghastly new threat, the Ghost Lord. Ghost Runner 2, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PC, October 26. Blood Will Run in Ghost Runner 2, a hardcore FPP slasher set in a post-apocalyptic cyberpunk future. Become the ultimate cyber ninja and prepare for epic boss fights, improved skills, an interactive story, new game modes, captivating synthwave soundtrack. The resurrection of PSVR 2 is well underway. Journey to Foundation, PSVR 2, Quest 2, Pico 4, October 26. Based on Isaac Asimov's groundbreaking literary saga, Journey to Foundation is an epic sci-fi VR role-playing adventure that will take you to regions of space you've never explored. This could be my mummy. And again, for the new listener, every week we pick what we call our favorite game out of Stingray's boot. It's the mummy. So it's the one that you would have pulled on their skirt for as a kid or rolled around on the supermarket floor, kicking your feet up and down, maybe even urinating yourself, whatever it takes to get mumsy to capitulate. You go the nice boy route first. When that doesn't pay off, you got nothing to lose. You just turn into a brat. I'm not advocating that behavior, especially younger listeners, but it's worth a try. You got nothing to lose. Alan Wake 2, My Mummy, PSVR, PS, it's not on PSVR, let me tell you that. It's on PS5, Xbox Series X and PC, October 27th. Alan Wake 2 marks Remedy Entertainment's first foray into the survival horror genre. One would argue they've dipped their toe in the water with that before, but I'm not going to get in the way of their own company propagated blurb. Ritualistic murders in a small town, a writer trapped in a nightmare, an FBI agent looking for answers, two realities, two hero characters, one horror story that wants them dead. Last two ones in the boot. Desolatium, PSVR. I'm desperate to get everything on PSVR 2 this week. If only it was. PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and Switch, October 27th. Desolatium is a first-person point-and-click graphic adventure based on Lovecraft mythos. Live this horror story where you will have to visit mysterious locations, face Lovecraftian creatures, find clues, and combine objects to solve puzzles. Last out the boot, UFC 5, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, October 27th, powered by Frostbite, EA Sports. UFC 5 is the next evolution of the fight game. It's got an all-new damage system and more new features that affect gameplay in a truly authentic fashion. So there you go. I don't know what my co-host RGT would have picked. He probably would have picked Scene Investigators on the PC. He likes to imagine he's a crime investigator. He's quite the super sleuth. Tongue firmly in cheek. He probably would have picked Alan Wake 2, just like me, but you never know. Now, tradition dictates that before Ray goes, we have to pick a little bit of nostalgia out of his boot. Normally a VHS, something of the 80s, 90s era, but this week I'm going to go a little bit differently. I've had it out of the boot before, I think, but I'm getting the complete collection of Downton Abbey. That series is a series that just keeps on giving. I'm probably on my eighth watch through of it now, and every single time there's something new. There's another angle you didn't notice. And obviously, Forearmed. And at that point, half the new people we found just switched off because they said, hang on a minute. This guy's been pushing it all the way through this episode. He now says he likes Downton Abbey. I'm done. Well, thank you for listening. It was great to get to know you through the medium of the show. And I hope we can maybe catch you again. But genuinely, that's what I'm taking out the boot. With that said and done, Ray has gone. All that's left on the floor is a mass of a viscous white fluid. One can only assume is Wayne's Miles Morales failed web launcher. Actually, that's not what I thought it was, but it is what it is. I've tasted it now. Ray is gone. He just disappeared in a cloud. It's part of the skill of the man. He kind of transcends all dimensions and boundaries, and he doesn't just get in his car and leave the way he came. He just disappears. That's Ray for you. If you need him, he'll be there, like the littlest hobo. Whenever you reach to the DVD drawer, there's nothing there. There'll be a knock at the door, and there's the Ray, stuffed with cam copies of everything in the cinema. Those that have been with the show a long time know that the only thing left to do to close the show is to talk about what I'm hoping to play for this gaming week. Here, if my co-host had paid his electric bill, we would probably talk in depth about what he's hoping to play. He isn't here, so only I can take the reins at this part. Now, obviously, there's going to be some Spider-Man. I'm looking forward to seeing how that progresses. Spider-Man 2 on the PS5. I'm sure RGT will be of a similar ilk. We look forward to reporting back to you once we've got the game done. A couple of other things I've got my finger in, probably a bit of Civ 6 on the Switch, probably going to be a little bit more Resident Evil. Going to continue my playthrough of Red Dead Redemption on the Switch. Literally flawless in its execution. Yes, it's not next gen. Yes, it's not using the Red Dead 2 engine, yada, yada, yada. I understand all of that because they're my feelings too. But as it is, the chance to take that game on the go, second to none. Second to none. The only thing really left for me to say before I hit you with the classic outro would be that obviously we're at Format in Manchester this coming weekend. It's on Thursday when we'll be attending. That's the... I should know these dates, but you know I'm a hokey cokey podcaster, so it's the 26th of October in Manchester. Head to the website. There's links in our Discord. Google it. If you want to use our Discord link, you get 20% off the ticket price. Looking forward to meeting so many of you there. Very excited for that. If you're new, it's a great day out. It's a night out for gamers. So as I kind of jokingly referred to earlier in the show, we're all covered in what's it dust, Cheetos if you're from over the pond, and generally quite smelly, and we shun interaction. Well, at least I do. I can't speak for all of you. You're probably all very gregarious types and you get out and about on a daily basis, but I don't get out that often. And to go somewhere that's catered for gamers, there's going to be developers there, there's cosplay there, there's Twitch streamers there, all transmitting live from the event. We're not going in that capacity. We're going to meet and greet as many of you as we can. Just kick back and relax and have a few drinks. The last few shows we've done, we've either been trapped on a stand or we've been on the stage, and it's made it difficult for us to be as relaxed as I would like to be in a social environment. So in that case, format certainly fits the bill. It's definitely going to be a little bit more laid back from our side. So we look forward to seeing you there and welcoming some Discord community members as well to join us there. And don't forget, we've got the competition, so tune into last week's episode to find out how you might win tickets to Format. But the clock is ticking and the window is narrowing, so get on with it if you want to join us. Obviously, it's a UK event. I'm not going to cover airfare, but I will cover your ticket. So if you want to come from another country, you're going to have to get yourself here and somewhere to sleep. Do you know, if you've come all this way and you're going to sleep on the streets, I may even stretch to buying you a sleeping bag, but no promises. To that end, I hope you all have an absolute great week. We will, obviously, as always, I promise to you, is we're going to give you content week in, week out. So this week we've already pre-recorded a catch-up across some of the greatest games of the last couple of years with the Season 1 co-host Tom. He's got some personal updates to bring and some of the games he's playing, some of the interesting stories from across the gaming universe while he's been off the show. So it would be, and the usual, what I would call Season 1 banter and lore, certainly makes a return for a one-off episode. So hopefully you appreciate hearing his voice and getting a bit of an update on where he's been and what he's been doing. We also look forward to welcoming back our American guys, not next week, but the week after, with some catch-ups. Obviously, Seb's been very busy. He's been crossing packs and doing other bits and bobs. He's been deep on a review code of Spider-Man 2. Sadly, this morning, he phoned in ill. I would imagine that he's probably just been playing Spider-Man. So you've had to make do with my 27% completion review information, which I think, with the experience that we've had with this game, we can certainly speak to that without having finished it. But we'll update you on a final verdict when we get that done. Or if we don't get that done and Seb's on before that point, he will give you the full critical analysis. So you look forward to that. If you want to catch up with any of us, head to the Discord to do that. That's where the show's story continues. And it's a real crown jewel because the community is what carries the show in between episodes. And if you only listen to the episodes, you're probably going to have a great time, but there is another quite large percentage of interaction and show activity and lore behind the scenes that goes on there that you would be missing. It's like the DVD extras in terms of content. And that's not to decry it. It's actually one of the good DVD extras, not just the trailer and that's it. There's a lot more going on in there. So there's community challenges, as RGT alluded to at the start of the show, that are just for fun. There's a comment of the month prize, which is either a £10 or $10 top-up voucher for your format of choice, Steam, Epic if you want it, Nintendo points, PlayStation points, or Xbox points. So there's something worth that there. Or if you don't want points, the alternative is a limited edition UCP t-shirt. And heck, let's throw our wallets out the window. We're also going to get a fridge magnet. Don't hold me to that. RGT will need to follow that up. We've got them, so I don't see any reason why that's not possible. But yeah, lots to enjoy there, lots to win, lots to broaden your understanding of the show and make new friends. Squad up. That's always a busy section of the Discord. People obviously joining up to complete challenges in games, trophies, all that sort of stuff. And generally then just the old school multiplayer goodness. So I think I've waffled enough. I hope RGT hasn't drowned or anything daft, but and certainly navigates the power cut. How is he going to play Spider-Man without the power? Was that George in the study with some wire cutters? maybe, maybe not. This isn't Clue or Cluedo, depending on the side of the transatlantic pass that you live on, but the evidence is not looking good. And that, I would say, calls it. So again, I'll see you at Format. Looking forward to it. If not, we'll meet you back here in a couple of weeks' time. Don't forget to give the special episode a listen. Catch up with OG Tom. And that's all we have time for this week, listeners. As always, thank you for your time. We look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. See you guys.